Gino Cappelletti has joined us on Sports Byline USA, had a fine 11-year professional football career with the Boston and then the New England Patriots. He was the AFL's MVP. He had his number 20 retired by the Patriots and the all-time leading scorer in the American Football League. You know, Gino, when I think back about your career in the AFL, those early days, I kind of smile a little bit because that was when football was really a lot of fun. It was an upstart league. They were trying to make some noise against the established National Football League. When you think back on those early days, what are the memories that you have?
Well, boy, that was something. You know, a lot of times you don't really realize what you're going through. I mean, you can talk about adversity and adversities that pioneers have to go through. But at the time, it was just playing football, and it was playing football the old-fashioned way. You know, you go out and you run your pattern, you turn and you look, and you might find the ball. And the game has certainly changed to a point of pursuing perfection now. And, of course, we all try to pursue perfection, but it was far away from being the type of teams and games that you see now. But we just went to work and played football, enjoyed it. There were 33-man rosters. You had to do more than one thing. Consequently, I was able to be the wide receiver and also was the place kicker. And a lot of people say, boy, you were a busy guy. I said, well, most of the players had to have that kind of versatility to play different positions. So with that, the American Football League was formed, and it started playing a brand of football that was exciting the fans out there. And you know what? It was actually perfect timing for the American Football League, because television had just done that game with the Giants and the Baltimore Colts that went into overtime in 1959, and that was just a tremendous game, and it was really attracting the fans of football. But the Patriots and the AFL, they tried to get an expansion team from the NFL. The NFL members said, no way. There's not going to be any expansion. There were 12 teams. So Lamar Hunt and Bud Adams says, we'll start our own league. And so they started the American Football League. And it allowed many players all over the country to have an opportunity to get into pro football, because a lot of them, making it in the NFL, then would go up to Canada and play in the Canadian League. So they provided opportunities for a lot of people like myself who love the game, wanted to continue playing, and they just needed a place to go.
You know, I've heard the early war stories about the AFL, and some of them are very, very funny. I think one of the stories I remember was the New York Titans, which was one of the early teams in the AFL, where the players would go to the bank with their paychecks in uniform and in their cleats. What were some of the stories that you remember about those early days?
Well, the early days were something to behold. Bill Sullivan, the owner of the, or part owner of the Patriots, and Ralph Wilson, the owner of the Buffalo Bills, they concocted an idea that we would fly commercial. We didn't have charters. And we were going out to play the Denver Broncos, and the Buffalo Bills were going out to play the Oakland Raiders. Would you believe that they worked out a deal where we got on the plane in Boston, and, of course, we grabbed all the first row of seats, the first-class seats. We stopped in Buffalo to pick up the Buffalo Bills. We got off in Denver. The plane went on to Oakland. So they found a way to save money by flying both teams out to the West Coast. And that was the time when we didn't associate with any of the opponents in the league. And, very few times would they have anything to do with one another, especially on the field. You never saw any socializing. So, anyway, we grabbed those first-class seats, and we made Buffalo sit in the back. And they just conserved and saved money by not having to fly two different teams on two different planes.
What was the philosophy of how to play football in the old AFL? Because it was more wide open than the stodgy established National Football League, which was more oriented toward a ground game. How did that wide open football philosophy come about in the AFL?
Well, I think mainly from Sid Gilman. He was a coach with the Los Angeles Chargers that became the San Diego Chargers in the second year. He was a master offensive football coach. And they started opening up the game. And a lot of the assistant coaches, Chuck Knoll was on that staff with Sid Gilman, and Al Davis was on that staff. And they all started to go along with what Sid Gilman was implementing. And with that, the game just opened up. And the other thing that the AFL did was to put their national game on at 4 o'clock. Now, all the NFL all had their games at 1 o'clock, depending on what time zone you were in. In the East Coast, it was 1 o'clock. In the Central, there was the Chicago Bears at 1 o'clock. But, and then the out west, you had the Dallas Cowboys, and then you had the Los Angeles Rams and the 49ers. And so they were broken up in sections of the country. And by coming on at 4 o'clock on the East Coast, it went all over across the country, and people were hungry for more football. They saw their 1 o'clock games from the NFL, and that was it. And now here comes this new league, the American Football League. You got your Lance Allworths, you got your Charlie Hennigans, your George Blandas. All these names started to emerge, Lenny Dawson, Kansas City. And with that, the American Football League was born, and they sustained, and they wound up winning 2 out of 4 Super Bowls against the NFL. So that was parity at its best.
How welcoming were the Boston/New England fans as far as accepting an expansion league, a new league, in those early days? And if my memory serves me correct, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, Gino, didn't the Patriots at one time play at Old Fenway Park?
We played at Fenway Park in 1964 we started.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, we played at Boston University's field. Then we played at Boston College's field. And then we went to Fenway Park, and we stayed there for about 6 years. So we were a team without a home field advantage for a while.
How welcoming were the fans there? Because obviously basketball was established there, the Red Sox, even the Bruins to a great degree.
Oh, yeah. No, it was when we finally felt more professional. We walked into the Red Sox dressing room, and started playing our games out of there, and everybody wanted to know, or wanted Ted Williams' locker. Where did he have his locker and all of those kind of things? But we came out on the field, and it worked out well because Fenway Park is in downtown Boston. So I think the fans really enjoyed coming there, and they were all pretty good seats. They just lined the field like one sideline was the first base line. The third base line was the back of one end zone. And then they brought bleachers out in left field, which is where the Green Monster is in Fenway Park, anyone who knows about Fenway Park.
Let me also ask you a little bit about, when you think about the National Football League and you think about the American Football League, you were the only guy that I can remember that played in the Canadian Football League, the AFL, and the NFL. The transition going from one of those leagues to the other, did you find that the Canadian League and its wide-open football helped you with the AFL, that thus helped you with the NFL?
Not really. No, it was a little different game in Canada, but you had to try to understand it. I remember one time I was playing up there for 1 year in a semi-pro league, and I saw the ball on the ground, and I was about to pounce on it, and the opponent just kicked it out from underneath me and then started kicking it downfield while he was running till it got into the end zone, and then he dove on it, and it was a touchdown. I said, whoa, you know, not a game I knew about, because he had to start to learn the rules. And, of course, then there was only three downs, and you could be moving forward before the snap of the ball and some of the things that were different. And also they had the rouge, which is 1 point. They had 25-yard end zones, and if you punted it in there and they didn't take it out, then you'd get a point. And the same was true for the field goals. So, you know, it's just getting used to things like that. But Babe Parilli, now the quarterback I had with the Patriots, and who was very instrumental in any success I had here, was playing in Denver. But he, at first, he played with the Green Bay Packers. He was drafted by them. Then he went up to Canada, played in Ottawa. And then he came down to play with the Oakland Raiders, and we traded for him and got him in 61 to play with the Patriots, and we had a good 10-year career.
You mentioned about the AFL winning two of the first four Super Bowl games that really put both of the leagues on even, you know, even playing field in a sense. Can you tell me from a player's standpoint when you guys felt like you had been accepted and that you were equal citizens in professional football? Do you remember that moment in your career or the league?
Oh, yeah. Joe Namath and the New York Jets. They went into Miami. They were 17, 18-point underdogs, and they won the game. And the Patriots, I mean the Jets and the AFL had got it done, and this was a big moment for the American Football League. And, of course, Kansas City beating
Minnesota,
the Minnesota Vikings. And so, you know, it was a convincing and accepted time, and of course it provided the joining of getting the two leagues together.
We only have 2 minutes left, but you led the AFL in scoring five times. You led or tied the NFL in scoring five times as well. When you think back on your successful career, what are the things that mean the most to Gino Cappelletti?
Well, I got to enjoy the thing I loved the most in sports. I really had a passion for the game, and I just loved to do all the things that there were. And I was a little bit unpleasant about maybe it ending before the American football game. I tried out with the Detroit Lions in 58, I think, and I was released. And then I went up to Canada. And then I went back to Minnesota, and I was tending bar, and I heard the talk about this new American Football League, and I got an interest in it. They didn't come looking for me, but I called them because a couple of friends of mine that played at Minnesota were going to Boston. And they invited me for a tryout, and the rest is history, as they say. But I just can only say that a lot of the things that I enjoy today I owe to the game of football, because, you know, I had an 11-year career without missing a game. I mean, to me, that was the thing that I enjoyed the most. I didn't miss any of the action. I played 156 straight games. What I did during those times in those games is one thing, but the fact that I was fortunate enough to play every game meant the most to me.
Gino, I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us and talking about your outstanding professional football career. It was an honor for me to be a young sportscaster, witness a part of it, and then get to know you as a broadcaster as well. I thank you, my friend. Continued good luck.
And it's always nice to talk to you on it because, you know, when you're from the Worcester area and in New England, I got a pretty good idea what kind of guy you are. Thanks.
Thank you, Gino. Gino Cappelletti with us. Gino played wide receiver for 11 seasons with the Boston, and then they became the New England Patriots. And as I said, he led the AFL in scoring five times, led or tied the NFL in scoring five times as well. We've got you on Sports Byline.